Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Time right now is 23 minutes past 7 o'clock. Normally on Friday, around this time, we have in-studio guests. And this week, we have from Marlboro, Maulana Arshad Fakir Saab, who's the well-known orator and a principal of Madrasa Muaz bin Jabal in Crosby. Inshallah, Maulana will be speaking to us with regards to the lessons that we may take from the challenges in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we welcome Maulana. Firstly, Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well, and I hope you are also keeping well, Maulana.
Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, jazakallahu khairan for your valuable time on this Friday evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept it from you. You can commence. Bismillah, Maulana.
Jazakum Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وقال تبارك وتعالى ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون صدق الله العظيم. Respected and most honorable listeners of Radio Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We will find that many of us throughout our lives we will endure certain types of trials, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with hardships and also prosperity, and the reason for this is to validate the sincerity of our iman and our faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention, and we know the famous surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Mulk, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second verse makes mention, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. That He has created death, meaning Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created death and life to test which of you carries out the best acts during his or her lifetime before passing away. And He is the mighty, no one can escape from Him, and He is most forgiving. So we find in a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Wondrous is the affair of the believer, of the mu'mineen. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّ خَيْرٍ. That there is good for him in every matter, in every of his affairs. This is not the case with anyone else except the believer. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says, إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If he is happy, then he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shows gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus there is good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And if he is harmed, if difficulty comes his way, then he shows patience, and thus that is good for him. In another hadith it is mentioned, that Musab ibn Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala reports, his father reports from his father, an abihi qala qultu ya Rasulallah, his father asked, O Messenger of Allah, ayyun nasi ashaddu bala, which people are tested most severely? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded and said, al-anbiya, the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thumma al-amthalu fal-amthal, then the next best, then the next best. A man is tried according to his deen. And if he is firm, فَإِنْ كَانَ دِينُهُ صُلْبًا اشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ, then if he is firm in his religion, then his trials will be more severe. And if he is weak in his religion, then his trials according to his strength, he will be tried according to his strength in religion and in iman. The servant will continue to be tried until he is left walking upon the earth without any sense. So we find that if you study and see the path of the Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the path is the path for which Adam alayhi salatu wasalam exerted himself, and for which Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam wept, And Khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into the fire. Ismail Zabihullah was laid down to be sacrificed. Yusuf was sold. Yusuf alayhi salam was first abandoned. He was first put into the well and thrown into the bottom of the well by his very same brothers. And later on he was taken out by somebody and then sold for a price and remained in prison for several years. Zakaria alayhi salam was cut in two with a saw. Yahya alayhi salatu wa salam was slaughtered. Ayub alayhi salatu wa salam suffered severe illness. And our beloved Habibi Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered poverty and all sorts of trials and death came upon him. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told of these calamities that he would face from the very first day of his prophethood. There's a narration recorded in Bukhari that Waraqa ibn Nawfal said, when he met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they went to him and they spoke to him with regard to what Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam had experienced in the cave, and he knew the previous scriptures, and he knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the chosen prophet, then what did he say? That I were a young man, then if I would be alive, and when your people expel you. So Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam questioned him and said, will really my people expel me? He said, yes indeed. No man has ever come with that which you have brought. That means no Nabi has walked on this earth, but he was faced with hostility. If I live to see that day, I will support you strongly. And this narration we will find in Bukhari. We can go through the difficulties of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of us also go through some sort of hardship. It could be manifested struggle or a hidden one. It could be an abusive parent or a spouse or who does not allow you to practice your faith. It could be an illness that a person is going through. It could be a financial difficulty, a financial setback, or even an emotional burden. Some people react to hardships destructively, but others really explore the beauty and the mercy that arise from these experiences. I read one place where a wise man had said, never give up hope when you face a difficulty. Never give up hope when you face a difficulty. Because it might in fact be your road to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your window to receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these difficulties will come upon a person and we need to see that how we handle the situation. Look at the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the very first day when he was born, he comes into this world. Prior to his arrival into this world, his father Abdullah passes away. He is born as an orphan in the home of Sayyidatina Amina. And we know that after he is born, he is then nurtured for a while by his mother. And then, as according to the custom of the people of Makkah, different children were sent to different places in the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, where women would come and fetch them, Bedouins, etc., so that these children can, number one, live a life of peace, a life and enjoy the outskirts and the atmosphere of the outskirts of Makkah, and also be breastfed by the women of those areas, and even learn the language from the people from the outskirts of the people who live in the outskirts of Makkah. When Rasulullah sallallahu when Sayyidatina Halima Sa'diya and a group of women with their husbands have come to Makkah to come and get children, so that they may take them back. It was a means of their living as well. And everybody goes to the homes and they receive the children from the homes which are affluent. And we find that nobody was there to take little Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the end, when Halima Sa'diya decides that now I cannot go empty-handed. Let me rather take this orphan. Perhaps Allah will put some khair and some barakah in my home. And she then takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At first, nobody wanted to take Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. When Halima Sa'diya takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first and foremost, it is mentioned that when she came to Makkah Mukarramah, then amongst all of them, she was going through a lot of difficulty as well. Her own camel and conveyance was very, very weak and lean. It could not move properly. But we find that when she comes and she just takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she places Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with her on that camel, suddenly that camel starts getting some type of strength. That camel now moves faster than everyone else. It is like in today's time we say that it was given north. And then it is mentioned that even the goat that she had, could not even give milk. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into her home, even the goat experiences the barakat of this young boy, and we find that the goat also starts giving more milk. She herself, where she was close to being dried in her breast, but when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she places him upon her chest, it is mentioned that the milk start gushing out. This is the barakat that she experienced, was having Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam spent some time in the company of Halima Sa'diyah. The very same Halima Sa'diyah later on, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam invites her to Islam. And whenever he met her in a later part of her life, and he always respected her, and always called her with the title, "Oh my mother." It is mentioned that Allah had blessed her with Iman, and we know that she passed away in Medina al-Munawwara, and she is buried in Jannatul Baqi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spends time in the company of Sayyidatina Halima Sa'diyah, and then he comes back to his mother. And as we know that when he travels with his mother going towards Medina Munawwara, his mother was going through a lot of grief in when separation of her husband Abdullah, and she feels she wants to go to the place of Medina. And many a times we find that we want to go somewhere, if some we lose a partner or we lose a family member, then sometimes to get closure of the matter, we would like to at least visit their grave or go to the place where they have passed away, so we get some closure on the matter. Sayyidatina Halima Sa'diyah travels to Medina al-Munawwara. She visits some of her family members, and as we know, en route when they are returning at a place called Abwa, she becomes ill, and she's got so high fever, and due to that she passes away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a young boy, tender age of about 6 years old, or between 4 and 6 years old, we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, together with Umm Ayman, they bury the mother, and now they travel back to Makkah Mukarramah. This young boy, who first came into the home without a father, now the shadow of his mother is also taken away. What great trial and tribulation upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's brought into the company of his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And we know that Abdul Muttalib takes care of him. He was, the apple of the eye. And he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. Abdul Muttalib starts taking care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it is mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also takes Abdul Muttalib away. The shadow of Abdul Muttalib is now taken away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He now comes into the home of his uncle Abu Talib. And he's brought up in the home of Abu Talib, the father of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nurtured and is brought up as an orphan in the home of Abu Talib. And then he comes of such a certain age, and then he goes for certain trade expeditions, and we know that he comes into the marriage of Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha. Now spending time on Khadija radiallahu anha, it is mentioned now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam with prophethood. We know that when he now receives prophethood, and now when he goes to inform his people, as we made mention of Waraqa ibn Nawfal, making mention about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his people will expel him, his people will be hostile towards him, his people will cause him difficulty. Yes, who causes him difficulty? The very same people who were close to him. The very same people who used to leave the amanat and the trust with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now they do not want to accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The uncle of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Abu Lahab, we know that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, due to joy, he became so happy that there is a boy and there is a son born in the home of my late brother Abdullah. He becomes so happy that it is mentioned that Abu Lahab, at the moment of receiving the news of a boy and a child being born in the home of Abdullah and Amina, immediately he sets free one of his slaves in happiness and in joy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam coming into this world. Yet the very same Abu Lahab, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam brings the message of Islam, and he calls them and he gathers them around the Mount Safa, and he informs them that if I have to tell you there's an army on the other side, would you believe me that this army is here to attack? And all of them in one word, except because they knew that the Nabi of Allah never spoke a lie from the time of childhood. But when he said, do you believe and accept that there is a day to come that where you will be answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you don't bring iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be doomed and you will be among the failures. When he hears this, Abu Lahab starts cursing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he causes harm to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. his children, the daughters of Nabi alayhi salam, were in nikah of his children. He orders them to divorce them as well, bringing great distress to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced sabr, and he exercises patience upon this as well. Then comes a situation when Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is boycotted, and he and his family, the Banu Hashim, are boycotted in the valley of Abu Talib. And we know they spend the year going through difficulty. That the time comes, there's no food. So much of sanctions is laid against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there's nothing to eat as well. The children are crying. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam exercises patience, and immediately after that, when they now the boycott is over, and it is mentioned now another test is placed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is that his uncle and his wife in the very same year, Khadija radiallahu anha, who is a pillar of support to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who is his confidant, she now passes away. And his uncle Abu Talib also passes away. With that year is known as Aam Yahuzn, the year of grief and sadness for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam thinks that let me go now to the people of Taif. Let me turn my direction and go to the people of Taif. Perhaps they will take my message. They will accept my message of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it is mentioned, he travels to Taif and he meets with the chieftains of Taif. And as we know, they do not listen to him. They do not listen to him as well. And not only not listening to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they order their slaves, they order their slaves, etc., to actually throw and pelt Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam with stones, and which caused Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bleed profusely to such an extent that it is mentioned, Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu is with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now bleeding to such an extent that his shoes or his sandals become stick to his foot due to the blood which oozed out from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns. On his return from Taif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decides to take a breather under a tree in the garden of two brothers, Utbah bin Rabi'a and Shaybah bin Rabi'a. As he sits down and he humbly expresses his helplessness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, we need to understand that the words Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ilayka ashku du'fi quwwati wa qillati hilati. Oh Allah, only to you do I complain of my infirmity, my inadequate strategies, and of my humiliation before the people. He does not complain of what difficulty comes upon him, but out of humbleness, he says, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is because of my infirmity, it is because of my inadequate strategies that this is what happened to me. And we know that while he is resting there, and he's sitting under the tree, suddenly Utbah and Shaybah, they see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they send their slave Addas to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, feeling him sorry. They send some grapes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Addas brings this tray of grapes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he places it before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before taking a bite from the grape, he mentions the name of Allah and he says Bismillah before commencing to eat. Addas comments and says, by Allah, nobody in that city has ever expressed such words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him, what is your name? He says, Addas. He says, where are you from? And what religion do you follow? Addas replies, I am a resident of the city of Ninwa, and I follow the religion of Isa alayhi salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired, is this the very same Ninwa of my brother Yunus ibn Matta? And Addas is taken aback. Said, how do you know who is Yunus bin Matta? He says, Yunus bin Matta is my brother. Just like Yunus bin Matta was a messenger of Allah, I am also the Rasul and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Addas kisses the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is mentioned, Utbah and Shayba, they seeing that what this person is doing, what is Abbas doing, why is he kissing the hands and the feet of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. They also then when he comes back, they warn him, make sure that this man do not deviate you from your religion. Your religion is far better than his religion. It is mentioned, even at the time that Abbas, when his masters were going for the battle of Badr, Abbas was crying, begging them that do not go and participate. For verily this is the messenger of Allah and you are not going to be saved. It is mentioned at that very same juncture, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when returning, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam appears to him and says, O Rasul of Allah, I have with me the angels who is in control of the mountains. There are two mountains between the city of Taif, on either of sides of Taif. O Nabi of Allah, you give me permission. And they are just waiting for your permission that they can crush the people, bring these mountains together, and the people of this town can be crushed. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says no. He says, do not do anything to them. For perhaps if they do not accept my message, then inshallah, the generations to come will maybe inshallah accept the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that moment also, no recourse, no type of revenge, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, worried of what will happen to the people who used to come from this place. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endures all this type of hardship. It is now time for him. We know that the people from Medina had come and they had taken, they pledged their allegiance with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is made to leave that very same city which is beloved to him, Makkatul Mukarramah. And when any person who enters Makkah and we visit Baytullah, our eyes fall upon Baytullah, then automatically we always yearn that how we can go back to Baytullah. May Allah take us time and again. May Allah bless us with true love for Baytullah. May Allah grant us all such ziyarahs which are accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam at that moment as well, he looks at Kaaba and it is mentioned, he says, O Makkah, if it was not for the people of Makkah who have caused difficulty to me, I would have not left Makkah. Regarding the aspect of Taif, it is mentioned, Aisha radiallahu anha, after the battle of Uhud, seeing the difficulty Nabi alayhi salam went through in Uhud, he loses his Mubarak teeth, his cheek becomes injured, his blood is oozing from him, he becomes weak. At that moment, Aisha radiallahu anha asks him, O Messenger of Allah, which from all the difficulties and trials that you went through, which was the worst day in your life? Aisha radiallahu anha, Nabi alayhi salam answers, Aisha, it was the day when I was pelted in Taif. The most difficult period came upon me when I was pelted in Taif. Yet we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not complain, knowing that this trials and tribulation comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is known as the hadith of Qudsi, that Allah ta'ala makes mention, Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa al-faqr, walau aghnaytu la afsadahu dhalik. That there are certain types of my servants that I give them poverty, for if I have to give them wealth, they will abandon me. And Allah Ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salam says, Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa al-ghina. There are certain of my servants whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with wealth. For if Allah has to give them poverty, they will abandon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in Nabi alayhi salam says, Inna min ibadi man la yuslihu imanahu illa saqam. That Allah says in his hadith Qudsi, that there are times, there are certain of my servants that I give them sickness, for if I have to give them good health, they will abandon me. And there are those who I give good health, for if I have to give them sickness, they will abandon me. So different types of trials and tribulations come upon a person. It is to see how we react at that moment. If a person wants to see that when the difficulty and trial comes upon him, and he then becomes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he exercises patience and sabr, he does not complain about it, then that is a trial. But when the thing takes him away, and the difficulty takes him away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then remember, that is not a trial, but that is a punishment. If we have to study this steps of the world today. And this morning, I was just checking that look at the world today. How many people are going through difficulty, and together with the difficulty, they are going to stress and they are going to depression. If any day you go to any of the medical practitioners, you will find that every second patient, they will mention to them the reason for your illness is because of extra stress. It is, you are going through great difficulty, and it is the stress which is upon you because of that is causing this type of illness. Your sugar levels are going high, your blood pressure is going high, you are having this type of disease and this type of disease, all to do with stress. Now, it is mentioned, according to the World Health Organization, more than 300 million people in today's time suffer from depression, and that is like 5% of the entire population. In the US alone, more than 75% people are experiencing high level to moderate type of stress. How do we deal with stress? Brothers and sisters, there is something that we have to understand. And this is an important point which has been mentioned by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimahumullah. He says, if the pain that you have experienced, if it is related to things that have happened in the past, then this is called sadness. That the, if the pain that you experience, and it is something because of something which has happened in the past, then this is sadness. And if it is pain that has afflicted the heart, is connected to something that has happened in, then this is sadness. If it is afflicted, it happened in the past, it is sadness, and which is known as huzn in Arabic. And if it is connected to something that you expect and fear will happen in the future, then this is worry and ham, as we say. And if it is related to something that is going on in your life right now, then this is regarded as anxiety and stress. Let us examine how the Quran deals with such a situation. Our losses are part of a trial for us. As I mentioned, the ayat in the beginning, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. That surely we will test you with something of fear and hunger, some loss in goods or lives, but give great tidings to those who are steadfast, who say when they are afflicted with any calamity or difficulty, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. To Allah we belong, and to Him is our return. They are those on whom Allah blessings descend and mercy, and they are the ones that receive guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we are given is a gift from Allah. We are not the owners. Everything belongs to Allah, and everything has to return to Allah. So if we don't own these things, why moan their loss? Or why should become proud on receiving something? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows what our ultimate destiny is. We cannot peek into our future. Secondly, what we should do is connect ourselves with Quran. Connect ourselves with Quran. When you find that you are down at that moment, open the Quran and recite the Quran. For the Quran is a shifa, is a cure for any type of illness, be it spiritual illness, be it outer illness. If a person is going through anxiety and stress, a person is going to depression, then recite the Quran. Read about the previous nations. Read about and study about the lives of the Anbiya. See what difficulty they have gone. Nobody have asked us to leave our home. Nobody have want to put us into the fire. Look at what's happening in the world. And ponder upon the people of Rohingya, etc. What difficulty they are going through. We perhaps maybe have lost our job. Or maybe we did not receive something that we wanted among those people in different parts of the world. What difficulty they are going through. That is why be constant in Salah as well. Secondly, be constant in Salah. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. That those of you who believe, seek help with steadfastness in salah. For Allah is with those who are steadfast. Perform salah, place your head on the ground, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness as well. Increase the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innu al-qulub. For verily, in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will our hearts find content. That is why, and be content with whatever decree Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon you. If a person can master this, then this is a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah. We know the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he makes mention to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, to seek some advice, to learn some five sentences from him. And the second is, وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. Oh Abu Huraira, be happy with the condition that Allah has decreed for you. Be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the sustenance that Allah has decreed for you. وَرْضَ بِمَا قَسَمَ اللَّهُ لَكْ تَكُنْ أَغْنَى النَّاسِ. O Abu Huraira, you will be from among the most wealthiest of people. If a person can have, can receive this aspect of contentment, that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua, اللهم قنعني بما رزقتني وبارك لي فيه. That, oh Allah, grant me contentment in the sustenance that you provide me with, وبارك لي فيه, and grant me barakah in there. If a person, it is mentioned regarding Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there's a kitab, Hadith al-Qudsi, which has been written by Sheikh Muhammad al-Awwama, hafizahullah, who resides now in Medina Munawwara, formerly from Syria, a great muhaddith of our time, our country was fortunate that the Sheikh visited us a few years ago. In that particular kitab, the Sheikh makes mention of certain ahadith, and then he makes mention of an incident of Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that sahabi whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And what did he ask? He said, make dua that Allah makes me a mustajab ud-da'wat, makes me a person whose duas are instantly accepted. Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to tell people, iyaka wa da'wat al-Sa'ad, that be careful and stay away from the dua of Sa'ad, meaning from the bad dua and the curse of Sa'ad. Because if Sa'ad lifts his hands, if he prays in the court of Allah against you, then definitely the dua is accepted. It is mentioned, Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala once come to Makkah Mukarramah. Originally was from Makkah, he migrated to Medina, and then when he used to visit Kaaba Sharif, he used to come for Umrah, etc., people used to come and meet him, just like when we hear that there's a particular person, pious personality, then we will go to him and say, make dua for me, make dua for my children, I'm going through this difficulty, I'm going through a financial difficulty. So Sa'ad, people used to come to Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala and say, oh Sa'ad, make dua for me for this. Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala used to make dua, he used to tell the people, come back by the evening. It is mentioned he used to make dua in the morning, by the evening, whatever difficulty those people had, by the evening that difficulty was removed from them. If a person was going through some financial difficulty, then in the evening he came, his financial difficulties were removed. So nevertheless, people came and said, oh, one day someone came to Sa'ad, in the latter portion of his life he became blind. So people said, oh Sa'ad, why is it that you make dua and you left your hands for everybody else? Why don't you make dua to Allah that Allah should restore your sight? Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala says, I am happy with that which Allah had decreed for me. I am happy with that which Allah has decreed for me. Allah has decreed that my sight should be taken, I'm happy with that. Therefore, be happy with whatever condition Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon you, and you will be regarded as a contented person. Today we find, what is the reason? And there's a beautiful narration in Tirmidhi from Aun bin Abdullah, who makes mention that he says, Aun bin Abdullah makes mention, as has been mentioned in many books as well, but in Tirmidhi Sharif this particular riwayat is mentioned that he says that I used to reside among the affluent people. I used to reside and be among the affluent people. Sahibtu al-aghniya falam ara ahadan akthara mimma akthara hamman minni. I used to reside with the affluent people, and I haven't found anybody who was more grief and saddened than me. أَرَى دَابَّةً خَيْرًا مِّن دَابَّتِي. I used to see that one, people have conveyance better than mine. وَثَوْبًا خَيْرًا مِّن ثَوْبِي. And one dress is better than mine. Someone has a better kurta, someone has a better dress than my dress. And all that used to cause some type of sadness, and some type, as we say, we used to be stressed. And that is our reality today, when we stick around with those who are known as the affluent people, and they only talk with regard to what they have, and we always, our mouth starts watering. So he says that I was always depressed. I was always now thinking that how can I get that? I cannot afford this car. I would like to have such a car. I would like to have a palatial home. I would like to have my home like this. I would like to have my garden like this. And then he says, فَصَحِبْتُ الْفُقَرَىٰ. I then decided to spend time and change the friends who I sit with, and I started spending time and I started living amongst those who are the poor. Then it so happened that I started experiencing rahat. فَاسْتَرَحْتُ. I started getting some type of ease, happiness, some type of calm. I experienced it among the poor. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. And in conclusion, my time is up, but I would like to make mention of a particular hadith which is reported by Imam Ahmad rahimahumullah in his Musnad, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention, as recorded by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. He reports that no slave is afflicted with anxiety and grief, and then that person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he makes dua in this particular words, Allahumma inni abduka ibn amatik, that oh Allah, I am your slave, son of your male slave, son of your female slave, nasiyati biyadik, my forehead is in your hand, ma'adhin fi hukmuk, and your judgment upon me is assured, adlun fi qada'uk, and whatever you have decreed for me is just, as'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak, I ask you by every name belonging to you, sammayta bihi nafsak, which you have named yourself, aw anzaltahu fi kitabik, or you have revealed in your book, أو علمته أحدا من خلقك, or you taught one of anyone from amongst your creation, أو استأثرت به في علم غيب عندك, or you have preserved knowledge of that name with you in the unseen. I ask you أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي, I ask you that you make the Quran the spring of my heart, وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي, and ونور صدري, and the night of my chest, وَجَلَاءَ حُزْنِي وَذَهَابَ هَمِّي, and a banisher for my grief and a reliever for my anxiety. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace his distress and grief with joy. In another hadith, simple dua, and we all end on this note, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala have narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once entered into the masjid and found therein a man among the Ansar by the name of Abu Umama, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, oh Abu Umama, why do I see you sitting down in the masjid when it is not time for prayer, it is not time for salah? He, Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala, replied, oh Messenger of Allah, I have been inflicted with anxieties and a burden of debts. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I teach you a statement? When you say it, Allah will remove you from all your anxieties and settle for you your debts. Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala said, why not, O Rasul of Allah? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you wake up in the morning or in the evening, say the following dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn, wa'a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasr, wa'a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl, wa'a'udhu bika min ghalabati al-dayni wa qahri al-rijal. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn. Oh Allah, I take refuge in you. I seek refuge in you from the anxiety and sorrow. Wa'a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasr, and weakness and in laziness, miserliness, wa'a'udhu bika min al-jubni wal-bukhl, and in miserliness and cowardice, and the burden of debts, wa'a'udhu bika min ghalabati al-dayn, and the burden of debts, and being overpowered, wa qahri rijal, by men. Abu Umama said, I did all this as recommended by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed all my stress and anxieties, and have removed my debt from me as well. So those of us who are going through whatever difficulty, there is a solution, and the solution is in the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. Let us recite the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to every person who is going through difficulty. Those who are in financial difficulty, those who are going through some family difficulty, having marital problems, domestic problems, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove all those problems, grant us a life where we become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if any difficulty comes our way, may Allah let it be that we be able to make sabr. Let's not ask for difficulties and say that I will make sabr. Rather, make dua that Allah grants us ease. Wa akhru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.